Tuesday the 13th of January, Yud Zayin Teves, Rabbi Joseph Feilich, The Mystery of the Burning Bush.
It's good to be here. It's wonderful. Again, I always get a chizuk when I see people coming. People who come regularly, every day, to learn some Torah in the morning before they go to work. Especially in these days, a thoroughly soil. You know, Torah learning is the greatest chutz that we can have for Am Yisrael, for the soldiers who are fighting for us. I just thought on Shabbos, people were making announcements about going on demonstrations at Trafalgar Square. When they took out the Sefer Torah, we said, Vahibin Tzoya Oren Vayom Hashem, Vayom HaMashem, Kumo Hashem, V'yufu Tzoya Vecho, V'yunusu Mesanecho Miponecho. That's the Baruch Shalom. Teach our enemies that they should be scattered. Kimitzion teite toiro dvar Hashem Yisraelim. When can we ask for this if the Torah is coming out of Tzion and dvar Hashem Yisraelim? There might be a connection there. So, I'm not saying, you know, if we're learning Torah, we are doing certainly a great deal of help. We learn it, the shame, it should be a schutz for the people who are fighting and putting their lives on the line. This is a great thing. I'm not saying for 1 minute that we should go on demonstration, we shouldn't go on demonstration. It might be important that we show that we are concerned, especially people see that from people never come to these things. It's not, it's a Chilul Hashem. So it's, on our side. Yeah. At least that's my opinion.
Our opinion.
So I don't know how much comes out of these demonstrations in the Maisha. I asked Ari Hefner, do you think there's a great Ellis comes out of these demonstrations? And he said to me, my father always used to say, if one shidduch comes out of the demonstration, you know, for that alone it's G'day and Levy. Well, this week we have the Seder, should be starting the Seder Shemois. Bereishis is the history of individual people, but now we're starting on the history of the Am Yisrael as a people. The Eile Shemois Bnei Yisrael, Haboi Mitzrayimo, Eis Yaakov Isha Beisar Bo. The old family, Yaakov, came down to Mitzrayim. And it's interesting, I once heard, I think it was B'Shem Rav Eli Lapien, that they say a person never knows where he's going to. You know, Yosef came down Mitzrayim on a caravan of Yishmaelim, who were traders, and his future was bleak. He was taken away from his brothers, and he had a future. He was looking for a future of slavery for the rest of his life. He'd have to be a slave. And then he came down in the terrible conditions on the back of the camels that were going down to Mitzrayim. He didn't realize that he was on his way to becoming the viceroy of all of Egypt, greatest power in Egypt next to Paro, and he would be there for a long time in charge of Mitzrayim. We don't realize how long he was there for, 80 years, from 30 till 110, 80 years. No prime minister has ever been as long as that, for 80 years being in power. I mean, we don't, you know, when we come to the end of Aichi, almost at the end when it says that the brothers came to him and they were worrying about him. He was 56 years old then, at that time. He was just halfway through his life. From then on to the end of his life was as much as from the beginning of his life to that point. So those last few psukim in the Vayechi really stretched through half his life, as much as the whole of the history of Yosef from the Yetzei, when he was born, till Vayechi. So he was really, he didn't realize he was coming to great Gedula. On the other hand, Yaakov and his family, they came down to Mitzrayim in royal chariots, personal guests of Paro, and they knew they were going to be put up in the best part of him, made up for Oris. They were coming down as VIPs, and they were getting, we are going to get VIP treatment, and they didn't realize that they were on the way to Shibud for hundreds of years of Shibud in Mitzrayim. So a person can sometimes think things are going bad for him, things that never know what's happening. You don't realize you're on the way to something altogether different than you think you are. So let's get on to the mystery of the burning bush. Moshe Rabbeinu, he is leading his flock, Moshe Hayoroi's son, Yitzhak Hoysnoi, in the Midbar. Yinak is the son, Acha Midbar, and he was going on the path. And then he suddenly sees off the path, on the side there, there was a bush that was burning on fire. It's not an unnatural phenomenon. There, the midbar, the heat of the desert, there's a lot of very dry bushes, and it's very hot. They catch fire. It often happens you get a bush catching fire. But normally a bush, you know, burns out. It gets the flame and it burns for 3 minutes, and then it's burnt out. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he was walking along this path, and he notices the bush is not getting burnt out, and it's carrying on. And he's already 10 minutes along this path, and this bush on the side over there, it's still burning. So the lashon of the Torah is very interesting. He says, "Vasnei nen ukol." By Yom Moshe, very long-winded psukim here, amazing. By Yom Moshe, the Moshe, Osura nova eres amare hagodim ezeh. I must turn aside from my path and see this amazing phenomenon. Madua la yivah snare. Why is this snare not burning out? That's an unusual thing. Every bush, you know, after a few minutes, every bush comes to an end. Even though it's the President of the United States. So then, it says, Vayar Hashem, he saw Leroyt, when the Rabbi Hashem saw that he had turned aside, Vayikro Elov Elokim, Mitarchim, the Damagon, and called him, and he said, right, I want you to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. A very long, lot of wordiness there. I mean, it should say that Posse could have said, Moshe Rabbeinu noticed that it was a bush which was burning, so he went to have a look, and Rabbi Shem called him and said, the Torah tells his whole mindset that Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, I must go and turn aside, and I must think, why is this a thing? And then, not just so when he goes there, so then Rabbi Shem called him and say, I want you to leave my people. Notice, Vayar Hashem, and Rabbi Shem saw that he had turned aside, Vayar Hashem, he saw Leroy's, and then he called to him. This is a very interesting thing. And I think I've once seen the idea, I'm not sure where I've seen it, so I can't say it with shame, Oimra, because I can't remember it, but at least I'm not taking credit for myself, because I don't think it's my idea, you know, but it's, sometimes I'm not sure whether I've seen something or it's just my own fancy idea. But to be a leader of people, you have to have your eyes open, and you have to notice what's going on. I think the Gemara says somewhere, again I'm not sure where I've seen this in the Gemara, says somewhere that it's bad for a town to have leaders who are big Talmid Chachomim, who are arrived at in their sugya, they're so, you know, absorbed in their sugya that they don't really see the things that are needed to be done in the town. Right? We need to have big Talmid Chachomim, you need to have people who are mamish Ayn in their learning, and they never shy, they come along with you. Come along to them with your problem, you can ask them and they can give you a good answer. But to lead the town, to be the manhige hadoya, you have to have somebody who is not just focused on his own thing, but he's got his eyes open and he notices there's a thing there, there's something there, and it registers, and he thinks about what he's seen. An old person could just say, oh, the bush burning there, very nice. But to see, oh, the bush is burning, and wait a minute, I said, 10 minutes ago, I saw that same bush burning. Now, what's going on with them? For that to go into his mind and to think about it, and then not just the past, but he can think about it. Very sane, but he passes on. Many people, you know, they see something is going on in town. And, okay, but I go along my own. I go along my path. No, he turns off his path, and he goes, and he says, "I must investigate what this is." So, when the boy from the toilet is giving you this whole mindset. You know, how his mind is working. I must go and see what is going on there. Right? And something strange. So then, when Rabbi Sham sees, oh, this is the sort of person who will turn aside from his normal routine, and he will go and see something needs doing, this is the person who I want to be a leader of my people. Rabbi Sham, of course, knew this before, but the Torah is putting it this way to show us why Moshe Rabbeinu was royal to be a leader. He had the makings of a leader. Somebody is a robber, so the leader of a community, he's got to see, you know, not just wait for people to come up to him, but to see over there there's an almona, she's in trouble, nobody's saying maybe she needs a little bit of chizuk, she needs a thing there, there's a young boy, he's acting a little bit saying it's a bit unusual, maybe he's a bit upset, maybe he's going off the derech, maybe he needs a bit of talking to and needs a bit of chizuk. You've got to have your eyes open and notice things and act on it, you know, then you can be a leader. Even in ordinary things, you know, you have to. I remember when my daughter was in the parish of Shaduchim, I remember once Rosh Hashiva rang me up and he said, hey, you've got a daughter, she's thing, etc., etc. I said, I've got a bocha now, yeshiva, mamish and ilui. You know, mam should be. So I thought to myself, an ilui? I'm not sure whether my daughter wants an ilui. You know, an ilui is a marvellous person having yeshiva. You've got a shred of Rambam, you've got a kashir on the sand of toises. You can go up this ilui, a clever fellow, you could always discuss it with him. But as a husband, you know, he doesn't notice, you know, I could be crying about something, I've got somebody, he doesn't notice what his wife needs, he doesn't notice what's going on at home. You know, he hasn't got his eyes open for it. So I said to Rashi Shiva, I said, you know, I'm not sure, I don't think my daughter is actually looking for an ilui. And I sort of braced myself, you know, I thought he was going to give me a big musadosh, I was haste, tailor, Dr. Gress, is that what more do you want? You know, and I was very surprised that he was very understanding. And he said, Rabbi Freilich, I know exactly what you mean. He said, ilui is inayim lehem v'la yiru. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he had this in him. Right? He saw, he noticed, and he was prepared to do something about it. So Ribbono Shel Olam shows him. I mean, we see the Selevi before that when he grew up in the palace of Paro, you know, he could have stayed there in the palace, you know, like many princes, you know, spend the day playing billiards or whatever they play in the palace. And, you know, he said, I must go out. Vayigdal Moshe, vayetzel echon vayab sivlai sam. He went, I must go and see my brothers, they're slaving away. I must go and see what they're doing. And as Rashi says, beautiful little Rashi, Vayada civilized son, Nasan Enov Liboy Lios Mate Alehem. He doesn't want to just curiosity, oh it's interesting to see, let's see what they're doing, what work they're doing building for Para there. No? He wanted to go and see what they're doing in order that he should have a feel for it, and he should put his heart to it, Lios Mate Alehem, to be able to feel with them. No, the people you see nowadays, hey, look at the paper, they want to see pictures, and they see television, and on the internet, they see, oh, interesting pictures, oh, it's in the food, the bombing thing. Nebuch, look at this, you know, here the soldiers, Nebuch, who knows what they're, the mothers are sitting at home, you know, every day, every phone call, they're sitting, you know, whatever. You know, it, you know, put your mind to, you know, see, of course, take an interest. If a person says, listen, I'm in the middle of learning, now I'm not interested to see the news, I'm not interested in what's going on in there, so, you know, That's not right. You must go and see, but you must see and put your mind to it. Not to pain of the liboy and yasmeitzalem and feel for them, and then do something about it. Doing something about it, as far as we're concerned, oh, you know, daven for them. That's a very important thing with people nowadays who are davening, and they get names. I've been given names as sites where you can get the names of individual soldiers, and you can daven for individual soldiers, and they're told that this person is davening for you. It's a tremendous chizuk, and it's something personal. So this was the middah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He had his eyes open, he saw, he wanted to see, and he thought about what he was seeing, and he was prepared to act on it. And so he came to this burning bush. Of course, we know that the burning bush represents, you know, the Klal Yisrael, a huge interpretation. The Klal Yisrael, although for years and years, you know, we've had sorrows and we've had persecution, yet nevertheless, Baruch Hashem, you know, we still have Kodesh Baruch Ramatilim, Yodim, the bush never gets destroyed. Either the Haftoka to us in Vayikro, they will never come to an end, no matter what sorrows we have. I remember a few years ago, when the whole world was celebrating the millennium, I heard a story. This was before the start of the day, the Torah Way started, so I haven't told you this story before, but came to a rabbi and he said to him, Rabbi, he says, are you going to be celebrating the millennium? And the rabbi said, of course. says, "Oh, you're Jewish, you know, what has you got to celebrate about the millennium?" He says, "We are celebrating the survival of the Jewish people after 2,000 years of Christian persecution." So this is something, this is Hasneh Einenu Ukol. So Rabbi Nishan says, "This is my man," and he calls him and he said, "Listen, I've seen the lachat of the B'nai Yisrael Hashem Mitzrayim, lot it's him al som, v'ato, and now, hene tzakas B'nai Yisrael, bo elai, and v'ato l'cho v'eshlochecho el paro, come, let me send you to Paro." Now, I once noticed that this is a very interesting phrase, l'cho v'eshlochecho, come and let me send you. In the whole of Tanakh, you won't find this phrase, except for one other place, and that is when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to his brothers. So he called him Yosef, and he said, "Halaya checha royim b'shchem, your brothers are patching there in Shchem, lechove shlochecho aleihem, come, let me send you to them, and see how they're getting on with it, whether they need anything." Now, I'm convinced that when you've got a rare phrase like that, and it occurs only here and here in two places, that there must be some connection between them. And here you don't have to think very long, you can see the connection straight away. This was all part of the Rabbi Shalom's plan. This was the beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim. Yosef, the nice boy, he was the apple of his father's eye, he was shepherding the flock with his brother, everything all very nice, beloved of his father. And then one day the father says, "Go and see how they're getting on in Shechem," and he expected in 2 or 3 days' time he'll come back with a report, bring me back a report about them. And of course he never ever came back. He went down to Mitzrayim, and then through that he brought the whole family down to Mitzrayim, and then the whole Am Yisrael were there in Mitzrayim for hundreds of years, and the Shibud, and that was the beginning, was that point, that was the turning point in history, where the Shibud, where the Rabbi Shalom started to engineer the Shibud. Now, after all these years, now the Rabbi Shalom has decided, now the Shibud must come to an end, and so he calls Moshe, and he says, "Ato lecho v'eshlochecho," he uses that same phrase again, "I want to send you now, and you are to take the B'nai soil out of Mitzrayim." So Moshe Rabbeinu has an interesting reaction, a number of things that he says. First of all, he says, "Listen, if I go to the B'nai soil, they'll ask me, and I'll tell them that the God of your fathers has appeared to me. They'll ask me, what's the name of that? They'll ask me, Ma Shemoi, what is his name? What's the name of this God? Mo Amana, what should I tell them?" And the Moshe said, "Okay, tell them, Echia Shechani Leichem. That's a funny thing. I remember my mother had an uncle, was an old man, he was like in his last days, he was in his 90s. I was shortly before his death, I still remember visiting him in hospital. And he was called Yoin Ansbach, and he wrote little things. He always liked to say little ideas on the Seder, on the Gemara, and the Mishnah. He wrote little things called Kanske Yoinah. And he always had some toilet to say, it's amazing. I went to visit him in the hospital in his last days. And another person tells you what pains he has, what treatment they're giving him. No, nothing about condition at all. It was Asher Shemois. I remember I came into the room, he said to me, "That was a funny thing." He said, "I'm going to go to the B'nai soil and say that the Kaddish Baruch Hu has heard your crying and thing, and he wants to come and take you out of Mitzrayim, but they're going to ask me, you know, what is his name?" Now, what sort of question is that? So just imagine, a man is drowning in the river, he's shouting, "Help!" And there's a man standing up in the bank, and he gets the life belt, and he throws it in, he says, "Grab hold of the life belt, I'll pull you out of the river." So you imagine my thing, "Excuse me, sir, but what is your name? What are they asking? What is his name?" But Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the B'nai soil were on top of themselves. They were with all their sorrows, right? They hadn't lost it. Because a person who was in trouble, whatever trouble you're in, if you're in shtuch,
whether it's for medical reasons or for financial reasons or legal reasons, whatever, any trouble that a person has, if you're in trouble, you're very, very vulnerable. And the tendency is anybody who comes with a nice smile in his face and he offers to help you, then you're glad to accept a helping hand from anybody. And that's where you have to be very, very careful. You've got to know, who is this person who's helping me? Maybe he's got his own agenda, but I've got to be very, very careful before I can accept his help. I might be going from the frying pan into the fire, and I'd be worse off than ever was before I had his help. I mean, I remember Eden came from Yemen, came to Eretz Yisrael. There was simple Eden, they didn't know they couldn't afford things, that were very poor, and missionaries came to them. You all know the stories, and said, listen, we can take a child, and that fellow with a long beard and a cattle around on his head. They said, we've got a school, we'll charge any fees, and you get free milk in the morning, and you get a nice hot lunch every day, and it doesn't cost you anything, it's all paid for and all that. And many of them were taken in by this, and they didn't realize that they'd not only lost their money, they'd lost their children, and they sent them to missionaries. So you've got to know, somebody's offering you help. Who exactly is this? Mashemoy. So then, he says, okay, now you want me to take them out? Me or Noichi? You know, who am I to take them out? And they still, you know, they never believed me that the Rebbeinu Shlomo appeared to me. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave him, says, look, I'll tell you what, throw down a stick and it turn into a snake, and you throw down some water and turn into blood. I'll give you some choices to make for them. And he says a very strange thing. The Pasuk says, when you take them out of Mitzrayim, then you'll come to this mountain, which is Har Sinai, and there there'll be a Mamat Har Sinai, and I'll appear to all the people in front of you, and then they will authenticate, everybody will know then that I have chosen you, you haven't made it up yourself. The whole people will know. Now, that's a very strange thing. Okay, but they won't even follow me, haven't I? I'll say to them, listen, let me take you out of Mitzrayim, follow me, and another 7 weeks' time you'll see there's going to be a Mamat Har Sinai, and then you know, hey, they won't even follow me. I mean, it's a big nesoyon for people to put their lives in the person's hand and to follow him out in the Midbar. It says, Achadiloch Chesed Nuraich, let him, it was a great chesed, the fact that he saw and trusted Moshe Rabbeinu, and they followed him out into the Midbar. There is no water, Edislaus Arua, you've got nothing to eat. I mean, in Mitzrayim, you're getting beaten and you want to work, at least you've got, out in the Midbar, you've got nothing. It takes a lot of emunah. So how will they have that trust in me? So I'll say, you know, in a few weeks' time, Rebbeinu Shlomo Lapidus, what's going to happen in those few weeks? So the Rambam says, in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah and Perek Shmini, says a very important thing. Because Moshe Rabbeinu lo ha'aminu bo Yisrael mipnei ha'oisa she'oso. Why do we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do we believe in the Torah? We believe in all the mitzvahs that he's given us. What is the basis of our munah? Other people believe in Muhammad and other people believe in others. Why is it that we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? Is it that he did great miracles? I mean, the others also, they walked in the water and they did all sorts of miracles which they claim to have done. So Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu loy ha'aminu bo Yisrael mipnei ha'oisa she'oso. We don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracles which he did. She'ha'amamin al pi ha'oisa, because anybody who is impressed by somebody who does miracles, who does oisa, yesh b'liboy doifi, then he's got an afterthought about it, and he's got certain doubts. She'ef she'she ose ha'ois b'lof t'chishuv. Maybe he did this with some sort of magic or witchcraft, or nowadays we'd say with some high-tech chokhmahs that he did it. So, you know, doing clever things doesn't really prove anything. And certainly, you know, we wouldn't follow Moshe Rabbeinu and listen to all his mitzvahs for years and years, for doidas, for thousands of years, because one day, you know, he happened to do some miracles. I mean, you know, there's this fellow, Uri Geller, you know, he can touch a spoon, he rubs it and the old spoon bends, and you bring him an old watch that's rusted up and stopped, and he looks at it and it starts to go again. Amazing, you know, you sit up, geez, this fellow's got some koichas, it's got some mysterious things about it, amazing phenomena. But if he is going to start giving us a whole lot of mitzvah and say, okay, now you know I can bend a spoon and I can make watches go, so now I want you to listen to me for all times and tell your children they mustn't do this and mustn't do that. You know, in years to come, surely, you know, our children or even we ourselves, we're going to change a whole way of life because this fellow managed to bend a spoon or make a watch go. I mean, it's all very nice, very impressive. At the time, it was a good show, but I'm not going to trust in him and accept him that he's there for something divine. So therefore, we don't believe in Moshe because of this. And all the miracles which he did, he only did it out of necessity, not in order to authenticate his nevuah. So if you needed, you had the Mitzrim running after you, so he drowned the Mitzrim in the sea, they had nothing to eat, so he gave mon. All the things that he did it because people needed. Uva meheminu boy, what did they actually believe in him? The Mamat HaSinai, only in Mamat HaSinai, she'enenu ro'u v'loi zor, that our eyes saw, and we didn't hear it from somebody else, was neinu shomu v'loi achir, and our own ears heard, and we didn't hear it from somebody else. We heard a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaking to us. I mean, this is a whole passing, we have a whole shiur on this alone, but if we alone, we've heard a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaking to us, and this is the basis. This is why we believe in Moshe for all times. He says, how do we know this? As the Rambam, Minayin Shemamat HaSinai Levadai. How do I know that it's only Mamat HaSinai? He who rail in the Vuasa she emis, She'ein Vadoifi. That this is the proof that he is genuine and that we're going to have no doubts about it afterwards. Shenem, as it says, Hineo Noche Boi Lecha Ba'av He'onon. I'm going to come to you. Ba'avu Yishma Ha'om Bedabri Emoch. In order that the people should hear me speaking to you, v'gam b'cho yaminu le'olam, and then they will believe in you le'olam, forever. This will be a permanent acceptance and a permanent belief. Mechlal shekodem dover hazeh, which indicates that before this, lo haminu boi le'monos shi amedes le'olam, they didn't believe in him and their monos, which would stand le'olam for all times. But a belief which was okay, I'll accept it for now, but then later on, you know, I'll have my doubts. It won't be a permanent belief. And I'm going to say, what do you mean? I'm going to do this, I'm going to speak to you in order that the people they should believe in you forever. Then they believe in Moshe even at the Yamsuf. Now you mean about Shem and Moshe, and they believed in Moshe. They believed in it, but it wasn't Le'olam. At the time, very impressive. Wow, he's taking us across the Yamsuf. It's round on with sea. It's wonderful. But on the basis of that, I'm going to go to Oilam. No, this is nothing. So that's why he has to now come and appear to all the people, that the people should actually have themselves heard it. Then this is an emunah which we'll have in the Moshe Rabbeinu Le'olam. So therefore, the way he understands it, he says that I need to give you some oysters now. Just that, you know, you come along and say, listen, I've seen God, I've heard God, and he told me, and all sorts of funny people come along to you with stories like that. They won't even start, sit up and listen to you. So you've got to do a few oysters. You take a stick and you throw it down, suddenly turns into a snake, something's going like that. This is a man you've got to sit up and listen to. So he'll give you an initial credibility that they will follow you. Right? It won't be a permanent thing, but it'll be an initial thing till... it'll carry you over for the first few weeks till you get to HaSinai. Then at HaSinai, we will have Mamat HaSinai, and then we will have a belief which will be the Oilam. It's like a first aid, you know, somebody's out in the street, somebody's had an accident, and he's bleeding away, you know, till you take him to hospital and he'll be dead. No, you've got to have first aid, somebody will see to him, and at least, you know, he can get him. Last for a half an hour and you can keep him alive till you get him to the hospital. Then in the hospital, they'll do a permanent seat with him. So this was the Mamat HaSinai, which was the permanent thing of Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, he says that, you know, I can't even do this job. I haven't got a very good mouth. You know, I don't speak. I've got a slurred tongue. Kvad pev kvad loshen anoichi. And so Rabbi Nishonim says, very interesting pasuk. With this, I'll finish. Vayom Hashem Elov, Mi Som Per Le'odom, O Mi Yosum Eleim, O Chedesh Al Pekecha Iver, Halo Enoch Hashem. Who is it that makes a person blind, or deaf, or dumb, or sighted? Yeah? It's all I who do this. So don't worry, I can do it. I can do it for you as well. There's no such a thing as you are, you've got a disability. And I often thought this pasuk is an interesting pasuk, because people tend to think that, you know, when you see a person who's blind, never, or somebody who's got some disability, we think, listen, it's listening flaws, you know, that most of us are well. You know, there's a trillion cells in the human body. There's so many thousands, millions of systems that have got to work together and synchronize. I mean, the human body, every bit of it, the eye alone, any organ, how many different systems have got to work till a person can see? So you think, listen, Rabban Shalom is creating so many millions of people. Can't have, you know, it happens once every now and then that the optic nerve, you know, didn't develop properly and that there was some little thing there. And so the person can't even be used to it, you know. And factories that manufacture shirts or whatever, they mass produce things. So out of every 1,000 shirts, there's a one or two which have a little fault and there's a little thing which it's not quite right and it gets sold a second. So, from human beings, you know, kind of bunch of, there's so many things, so many millions of systems and so many people. Here and there, you know, it doesn't work out and Nebuchadnezzar, the person is blind, okay, can't help it. There's no, that's not the point at all. That's not what happens. A person isn't blind or a person doesn't have a disability because Nebuchadnezzar didn't, some part of his body didn't develop properly. It's that Kodesh Baruch deliberately made him like that. Mi yosum ilim. Who is it who makes a person deaf or dumb? Of the care or evil, who makes him sighted or who makes him blind. I have my own cheshbon, why I make certain people who can't walk properly and certain people can't hear properly. That is my cheshbon, but I'm doing it. It's not because I didn't manage to do it right or something went wrong. This is done deliberately. Why Kodesh Baruch Hu's got that cheshbon, we don't know. For all we know, it could well be, I often think, it could perhaps be in order to teach other people to appreciate what they have and just take for granted. You know, a child runs in the street, you know, of course I can run. The legs, why shouldn't I be able to run? You don't realize how many mechanisms are on the legs until you balance yourself, until you walk, until you get the gravity of your body. It's a whole complication. So when a child sees a man, you know, in a wheelchair or in a crutch or whatever, and not, he's got legs, but he can't walk never. You know, it's funny, a child, you know, sit up and say, gosh, you know, you don't necessarily able to walk just because you've got legs. Baruch Hashem, I've got legs and they work and they walk. I've got eyes, I can see. You know, we make a brach every morning, pakeach ivrim. It's something to be aware of. And it's every time, I mean, even we have the fact, even as grown up people, when you see a blind man walking in the street with a white stick and he's tapping out, he's saying that, look at that blind, Baruch Hashem, you know, I've got eyesight, I can see. They say, Avigdor Miller, every morning when he made a brach of pakeach ivrim, he used to sort of, you know, look at things, look, open his eyes and look around, I can see the light, I can see things, yeah, I can see, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to see. So these are the teachers of humanity. So I make everything, this is a very important lesson which we see from this podcast. These people, they've got their faculty, they're teachers like other people are teachers, they've got to give their life up to being teachers, so they're teachers. So this was it. So bit by bit the prophet was demolished all his excuses, and even in the end, you know, he says that Shlachno Biatisha, listen, please, why don't you do me a favor, you know? I don't want this job to be a leader of the Jewish people, you know? I need it like a hole in the head, you know? It's not a job for a Jewish boy, you know? Please, you know, Shlachno Biatisha, please find somebody else in the end. Like, Yichar Avshem, I'm coming back to be angry and actually have to force him to listen. You're going, and that's it. This is not, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, you're the person. Well, why is all this said? It's important for us to know that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a leader because he wanted to be a leader. Though today, all the leaders, every president, every prime minister, I've had people coming out of my doors, these members of parliament, before the election, they actually knock on your door. Amazing, the man himself, can I count on your support? They want to be elected, and they're fighting, you know, from early age, they want to be the prime minister of the And that's the sort of prime minister they are, people because they want it. The Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the job, and it was just forced on the Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why we accept Moshe Rabbeinu, and we believe him to this day, the greatest Navi of all time, and we accept and we live by his Torah, the Torah which he gave us on behalf of the